You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us today online, kpcg.fm. Live link at thetrumpet.com as well. This is Trumpet Radio Live, weekend edition. Dwight Falk and Grant Turgeon with you here today. And Grant, good news on the way. It's supposed to cool down this weekend and not be... It's been about 100. Feels like 100 and, you know, 5, 6, but it's supposed to get down into the mid-80s. We will take it.
Oh, wow. Just a state of extremes, huh? All the time it's just changing so much.
I hate to say that it's going to happen, though, because a lot of times they forecast it and then 2 days later it's not what they said. But that's a claim. Mid-80s potentially and maybe some rain, depending on where you are in the local area. So hopefully it's nice where you're listening online at kpcg.fm as well. And a lot to talk about today, some headlines to go through. Also, a new Key of David program that we're going to highlight and Trumpet Daily Radio Show. And then some other interesting stories to get to in the second part of the program as well, including what your playlist says about your personality, your musical playlist. So we'll talk about that. They've done some reporting on that and have tried to determine what the music says about you as a person. So we'll find out about that. I've been watching some of the Olympics, of course, and they have the gymnastics, which they've just finished up a lot of. I think they have a few more things left, but that's been here in the first part of the Olympics. And you might notice when the women gymnasts go out there, they use chalk typically on their hands. We were watching it the other night. One of my children asked me, what's on their hands? I said, well, that's that chalk. You know, get your hands, gets a good grip. Guys don't like using chalk. Do you know what guys like to use?
No, I don't.
Honey.
Honey?
They use honey on their hands to have a better grip.
I was about to guess pine tar, but I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, they like honey for some reason. So they say many find that honey has the right friction and consistency to give them to give their fingers that stick, but it doesn't cling to the equipment.
I've actually noticed that. I've never really seen a male gymnast use anything white for his hands.
Yeah.
So I wondered what they were using.
Apparently they like the honey. They say, is all that stuff legal? Can you do that? Yes, you can. According to the International Federation of Gymnastics rules, which we're all familiar with, they say that's why you might see each team and individual bring either their own chalk, honey, molasses, or preferred tacky substance to the floor during Olympic events.
They finish their routine. They have a little snack left over.
Yeah. Well, I was just. I hope they clean the bars in between.
Yeah, I know.
Got a bunch of honey up there. That's. I never knew that. I thought everybody used chalk. The idea of putting honey on the hands. That's something that that I've never thought of before. Didn't realize. So that's a Olympics fact that you can put in the memory banks.
Yeah, gymnasts must have some of the toughest hands too. Just calluses on every available surface.
They are. They're human dynamos. They're just like one muscle. They're all, of course, usually shorter, and that helps with what they're doing. But it's interesting when you see them lined up, and you don't really have anything to go by how tall they are. And so there's usually one or two. You think, well, that person is pretty tall, and they're about 5 foot.
That's the tallest one.
Yeah,
this is 5 foot.
The other ones are 4'7", 4'8". You gotta be just the right size for that type of activity. So anyway, those have been interesting to watch and. Yeah, that's something I didn't know, that the fellows like to put honey on their hands. So, and like you said, that gives you a snack for later. it's great. Of course, it's a great honor to win a medal at the Olympics. They actually get paid cash for those.
Really?
Yeah. When you come home from winning the Olympics, if you win a gold, silver, or bronze, there is a certain cash payout that you receive. So it's more than just the honor and just the whatever the medal's worth. You get some pretty good cash. The U.S. ranks 9th on the list of countries paying out bonuses for gold medals. So we are only 9th on that list, which I found surprising. I thought we'd be number one.
Is it paid out for other medals as well?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tiered thing. They say America, of course, is the richest country in the world. Yeah, I think so. Probably still, even though there's some problems there. But they say the nation's Olympians... may not be quite so prosperous, except for, of course, the NBA players who make multiple millions of dollars.
That has little to do with them being in the Olympics,
right,
though.
Right. But U.S. Olympic athletes receive $25,000 for a gold medal, $15,000 for silver, $10,000 for bronze. That's before taxes, of course.
Yeah.
But still, so you think, wow, that's pretty good. And you think about guys like Michael Phelps. I think he's got, I want to say, 4 gold medals so far this Olympics. So you do a little math there, and you got a nice $100,000 coming.
That's nice. Yeah, I actually was expecting a bigger payout just because you hear of like a baseball team making the playoffs and everyone gets like $500,000 bonus, even if they never even played. So
yeah.
I guess certain sports, they just have way more money to give out.
Yeah, it's interesting. But I think a lot of them probably, if they win the gold and they're pretty well known, they're going to make a lot more on their endorsements
right.
than this. Yeah. But still, I mean, this would be awesome for any of us, but for them, it's probably a little pocket change.
Yeah, I always kind of wondered how Olympic athletes supported themselves like, in the 4 years between competitions.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you have people showing up to the live event, so that would be some money there with the ticket sales, but I don't see too many endorsements for them unless they're actually in the Olympics at that time.
Yeah, and there are a lot of athletes in the Olympics that wouldn't be endorsed. You know, there's a few at the top. We all know, like, Usain Bolt. We know Michael Phelps, a few others, I'm sure. But then there are a lot of people that I don't know. And they're very good. Mm-hmm. You know, who's the best pole vaulter in the world? I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm sure somebody does, but... you know, how do people make, like you say, make the money during the year? I've always wondered that too, because they have to dedicate a lot of time to their training. And
so you would think it's full time, and that'd be their only source of income.
Yeah. So meddling is it'd make it more exciting if when they won, they just rain the money down from the ceiling,
and hope no one else snatches it from them.
It's like confetti, you know, when somebody wins, they just rain the money down. Singapore, they lead the way. They offer $750,000 to gold medal winners.
Wow.
Followed by Indonesia, $383,000. Azerbaijan, $255,000. Kazakhstan, $230,000. And Italy, $185,000. Of course, some of those nations may not win medals, so maybe they're not so worried about that.
Yeah, those payouts are more like it. And I know Singapore actually, I think, has a higher standard of living than America does. You might not expect that, but I believe that's the case.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting too. Is I would imagine that if a team wins, you'd have to pay everybody, so that could be pretty expensive.
They better do it.
Yeah,
better follow through.
Yeah, if you get a team, I think Fiji finally got a medal.
Yes.
I want to say it was rugby, but I shouldn't say that because I didn't totally read everything. But it's their first medal ever.
Wow.
I believe, if I have my facts correct. So they were kind of comparing and contrasting Michael Phelps, who's got 22 golds, 21 golds, whatever. It's 20. I think it's 22 now.
I think it is 22. I'm not sure, though.
And they got their first medal ever. So it's two different extremes there. But when you're a smaller country and you don't have as many people, it's harder to get some of those top athletes, I guess. So pretty interesting, some of the things going on there with the Olympics. It's been kind of a strange summer here in the U.S., even in terms of leisure and entertainment. CNN.com reports that a boy falls off a Pennsylvania roller coaster. This just happened a day or two ago. The nation saw its fourth amusement park accident in 5 days mm-hmm. when a boy apparently fell out of a roller coaster in Pennsylvania. That happened, it was yesterday, Thursday, actually. A local official told CNN details were sketchy about it. The child and the injuries he received at Idlewild and Soak Zone around 1 p.m. The child was airlifted to Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, which was about 50 miles away. And the hospital spokeswoman said the parents have asked that no information be released. So that's understandable. You'd want to keep that quiet. In the other recent accidents around the country, one child has been killed, another suffered a brain injury, and at least two others were hospitalized. And I think we all know about that water slide situation where, from what I've read, the child was decapitated, actually.
Yeah, actually, one of my friends went to a water park recently and said that the only thing holding him into this boat was like this flimsy piece of Velcro, and I don't think that would be like the best safety harness. They probably need to look at that.
Yeah, this one where the boy fell off the roller coaster here in Pennsylvania, it was an old wooden roller coaster, and there were no restraints.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were, of course, below a certain height, you had to ride with an adult. And but I don't know what happened. They didn't, of course, release the info, but the child fell out. Some of those rides, I mean, I've wondered that. I've been on rides and thought, well, there's not a lot holding us in here. It's one bar and we're whipping around pretty good.
Yeah.
I've never seen any problems. Most cases, they don't have problems. This coaster in Pennsylvania had just passed inspection not too long ago. But so, you know, I don't know if it was the people involved, you know, if they did. Sometimes people might do something a little silly. or not think, or maybe they're too small to get on the ride. I don't know, but it just seems like this is quite a high number. Like they said, it's the fourth accident in 5 days.
Right, and with children, it's more likely that they might fidget around or try to take off the restraining mechanism. So it's not too surprising, at least when it's a child, because they do squirm, and that's just a reality.
So anyway, if you're heading out to one of those parks, I guess you just have to be careful and just try to be safe as best you can. This is a headline here that was mentioned briefly on the Trumpet Daily today. This is from the Chicago Tribune. This one really surprised me. I read it last night. Nearly 100 people shot in Chicago in less than a week. If you're thinking, wow, there's a lot of gun violence in Chicago, you're right.
Wow.
This is amazing. Nearly 100 people have been shot in Chicago in less than a week, pushing the number of shooting victims so far this year to more than 2,500. That's about 800 more than this time last year, according to data kept by the Tribune. 2,500, and what are we in the, we're in August, we're in the eighth month of the year, about halfway through that. So, wow, 2,500 people, it's like a war zone.
Yeah, from what I understand, they have some pretty strong gun control measures there too, so it's not really working.
They say between last Friday afternoon and early Thursday, at least 99 people were shot in the city, 24 of them fatally. At least 9 people were killed on Monday alone, the deadliest day in Chicago in 13 years. Wow, according to the Tribune data. Among the wounded that day was a 10-year-old boy shot in the back as he played on his front porch in Lawndale. So you have a lot of people that are getting caught up in the crossfire of probably gang situations. Don't know all the details about these, but here you have a 10-year-old boy who is minding his own business and he gets shot. If you're a parent of a child in that area, you'd be very concerned for your safety and, of course, for your children's. They just want to go out and play and mind their own business, and you might get caught up in the crossfire.
Right, yeah. My brother and I traveled to Chicago last August to see both baseball teams play, and it just never felt safe the whole time we were there. We stayed in the public areas. We got on the tram, went straight to the stadium, went straight home, but I just was constantly looking over my shoulder, checking out all the surroundings, and was always glad to get out of the city after every game.
That's interesting. I've been there, I guess, most recently in about 10 years ago, and I didn't really – I just kind of was in the area. I didn't necessarily get out and walk around. But I had been there, almost 20 years ago now. And as a kid, I was there with my uncle, and he took me around, showed me a lot of the sights. And you know, it was great. I loved it. We stayed in like really good parts of town and everything. And I'm sure as a kid, I wasn't as aware of some things, but it seemed really nice and really good. But it has become quite violent. They had a lot of gun violence in the 90s. It sort of improved a little bit, but now it's getting back to those levels that they saw in the 90s again. And so it's interesting that, that you felt that way when you were there too.
Yeah, it was actually, every time I was in the city, it was a strange experience. A guy actually offered my brother and me marijuana for free because he thought we were cool, and the police were standing 50 feet away.
Really?
So pretty gutsy criminal, I guess.
And yeah,
had another like 20 minute conversation with the homeless man because he was just walking next to us on the street. So
yeah,
I'm kind of happy to be back in Oklahoma.
That make you a little nervous, although I will say I actually saw a report last night related to the homelessness in Oklahoma City here locally has jumped up. I forget what the percentage was. I think it was over 15%.
Yeah, and you do see a lot of them down there. I guess they're just maybe not as proactive as this guy was.
He was a little more friendly.
Yeah, sure was.
This article from the Tribune says the number of shooting victims in Chicago stood at 2514 by Thursday morning. At this time last year, it was 1725, so quite a jump. As far as people that have been shot. The city has not seen this level of violence since the 90s, they say, a trend the police department is blamed on what they say are lax gun laws and feuding gang factions. I would tend to think it has a lot more to do with feuding gang factions than anything else.
Yeah.
So just really, really terrible, and that number really jumped off the page, I think, in a lot of people that may have seen it there from the Chicago Tribune. You know, that does sound like a war zone. That does sound like something you'd see over in Iraq or one of these other nations where they are having violence pretty often, or Syria. And here it's in, I guess, what would be considered the third city in as far as, media impact anyway. They usually go New York 1, LA 2, Chicago 3, and kind of one of the jewels of the U.S. You know, yeah. It's one of the cities. They tried to have the Olympics there in 2016 this year, and obviously Rio got them. But, you know, imagine if they had been there.
Yeah.
This would be certainly a bad situation.
Well, yeah, I think steps need to be taken to stop gangs from getting new recruits, because after a while, at least if no new members are entering gangs, they kind of lose their importance. But, I mean, if there's stability for the children at home and in their schools, then how many of them are actually going to want to join a gang?
There are some real fundamental problems that it's hard for them to get in there and solve, or want to solve, or admit. Yeah. But really, it does get back to that family unit and structure, like you said. And so some real problems there in Chicago. Heat wave. We've had a little bit of a heat wave here in Oklahoma. It's not that untypical for us, but there's been a huge heat wave in the Middle East, which I hadn't read too much about. I guess it's usually hot, so it's not maybe that surprising. But this headline is from EcoWatch. They say, epic Middle East heat wave is being compared to weapon of mass destruction. Recent extreme heat events in the Middle East have climate scientists worried about future climate-related catastrophes. Temperatures have climbed above 115 degrees Fahrenheit across the region this summer, and Kuwait and Iraq recently recorded most likely the hottest temperature ever in the Eastern Hemisphere.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so it's, I guess, probably the hottest temperature I have been in would be right around there, 115, and that would be out in Palm Springs area in California. It gets pretty hot, but, of course, it cools down at night, so I don't know how the Middle East relates to, say, that climate exactly, but anytime you get up to that temperature, there's no way to make it seem better than it is. It's that's very serious heat.
Yeah, and it has devastating consequences, obviously, with crops. If you are trying to grow any crops, probably half of them die at least. And the Middle East has always had irrigation problems, so that's not really going to make it any better for them.
They say the record-breaking extreme heat estimated to have claimed more lives than wars, which is pretty amazing, and I don't know exactly how they come to that number. But they say it has worsened over the years, and recent studies have suggested future climate change will make parts of the region uninhabitable. Now, of course, this story is coming from a site that's they think there's a lot of climate change happening, and so, you know, I don't know exactly where they get all their data from, but if nothing else, it is very hot. It's hotter than it has been recently anyway, and it's a pretty big heat wave causing some problems in the Middle East. This one person says, as a sergeant major in Iraq, equated the heat wave to a weapon of mass destruction, saying, "It makes my skin crawl. It is killing us." So, yeah, how hot is it today? Well, it makes my skin crawl, and I think it's killing me. So that's pretty
hot. He needs a relocation.
he might want to move somewhere else if he can help it. And of course, I don't know, I have not been over in Iraq or those areas. I'm not sure how they are on, air conditioning. I would guess it's not obviously as good as it is here in the States, so they're probably really just having to tough it out.
And we're already being scolded for how we use air conditioning so much.
That's right. You can't have your house at whatever it is, 60, 62 degrees.
There's too many people who don't have air conditioning. How dare you?
Yeah, it's I appreciate having air conditioning when it gets hot. It makes it much easier to sleep and those types of things. But anyway, so pretty hot over there in the Middle East, and be interesting to kind of watch some of those weather trends. We've had we haven't had a hurricane. I forget how many days it is here in the U.S. There was a headline the other day about that. And so we haven't had any serious hurricanes here in a while, from what I could discern. It seemed like it was maybe even a record as far as just not having any. So sometimes some parts of the earth get some more difficulties than others at times. We have had problems out in, of course, California with the how dry it's been. There's been fires out there and floods somewhat on the East Coast. So anyway, interesting to look at the weather. And I'm hoping for a moderately cool winter.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for a little bit of snow.
Maybe just not besieged by blizzards, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, somewhere in the middle. Just a little bit of snow to, you know, make it feel a little more wintry.
Yeah.
Then, because when everything gets just dry and brown and there's nothing over the top of it to cover it and the trees are barren, it can be a little depressing.
Yeah, at least there's less chance of a car wreck if there's no precipitation. So, I like it kind of dead and depressing over dangerous sometimes.
Well, I think the best thing that can happen is if you get a decent amount of snow, but it's warm enough to melt off the roads.
That's perfect.
Kind
yep.
of, yeah. It's nice to get snow and have it be gone in a week, and then mm-hmm. have some later, because I know from being from up north, you get into the winter and then it gets a little depressing because you just keep getting snow on top of snow on top of snow, and then it gets dirty.
Oh,
because
right.
people drive on it and it gets grimy, and it's beautiful for like the first few hours after it's fallen, and then it becomes like this giant mud, grease, grime layer.
Yeah, it's trod upon and no longer so attractive.
Some of the shopping centers up in Wisconsin, what they would do is they plow the parking lots to get the snow out. They push it all to one giant pile in the middle.
Yeah.
And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's all grimy and because people drive on it. You know, when it's fresh and they drive on it, and then it gets pushed up. So it gets grimy and the pile gets bigger and bigger. And I can remember sometimes it would be July and it would still be there.
Right.
Now, it had melted down a fair bit, but it was so compacted, it would take a while for that to disappear. So that can be somewhat depressing, too.
Yeah, all year long, the heat of summer, it's still there.
Yeah, we didn't have enough 115-degree days to melt that that away. That would have taken care of it. Here's a really interesting headline. This is in relation to Germany and what's going on over there in Europe. This is from PJ Media. It says, sadder but wiser, Merkel's Germany is turning into a police state. So, of course, they've had problems with the migrants and some of the terrorism that's happened lately. The German government proposed a broad range of measures on Thursday to bolster security and combat terrorism. Its strongest official response so far to two recent attacks by terrorists, pledging loyalty to the Islamic State, and the deadly shooting rampage in Munich. I think we remember those events. Many of the measures, which include closer monitoring of refugees and enhanced surveillance, seem likely to win legislative approval, but prompted concerns in a country that is deeply protective of privacy and civil liberties. So the package of proposals, they say, is the most comprehensive from the German government since Europe became a consistent target of terrorist attacks by the Islamic State, other radical groups, and their followers. They were unveiled at a time when Chancellor Angela Merkel is facing accusations that the welcome she gave last year to migrants streaming into the continent from Syria and other nations in the Middle East has compromised security. So they are ramping up their security to a level that is pretty heightened from what it has been. And that can be somewhat concerning, obviously, because Germany, since World War II, has tried to show much more of a pacifist mentality. And now they're being forced to be to really arm up and, again, turn it into more of a police state, as this headline says.
Yeah, regarding the refugees, Merkel's sticking to her tagline of "we can do this." She's not changing despite all the evidence that shows that Germany clearly is a more dangerous place after all these people have flooded in, over 1 million so far. It's probably going to soon reach 2 million if it continues this way. You know, it would be common sense to keep people with different ideologies separate, especially if they don't like each other. And America definitely needs to take an example from Germany, also from Britain.
It is interesting because in the U.S., obviously, there's a lot of talk about guns and gun laws. And some people say there's too much gun violence, and which there is, and saying, well, we should limit guns and so forth. But then you look on the other side of the coin here in Germany, where they have stricter gun laws, but now they have to really increase the policing to deal with this terrorist flow. So you can look at a lot of different regions on the earth, and you can't really see any region where they've got it right.
Mm-hmm.
They're having problems one way or the other. Too many guns, too much gun violence, not enough protection, terrorist attacks. And now the police arm themselves. So what's better, a armed populace or a heavily armed police?
That's right. And the Germans and the French right now are leaning toward a lot more policing. They're fine with giving up their security as long as they can be more or giving up their privacy as long as they can be more sure that they will not be victimized in the next attack. And the thing is, though, a lot of their leaders are saying we just have to live with terrorism. They're not going to accept that.
It's a hard platform to run on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's accept terrorism. It's hard to win on that as your tagline. So interesting. Things are changing over there in Germany and Europe, and there's a lot written about that, what you can expect to happen over there on thetrumpet.com. The Key of David program today, that's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. It's a new program that is airing this week on television stations in the U.S. and Canada. The Key That Unlocks the Bible, that's the title of it. And it says, to avoid the mass deception that is a sign of Christ's second coming, you need the key that unlocks the entire Bible. The literature being offered on this program, which is free, you can get at thetrumpet.com, is The True History of the True Church, which is a fairly new book, and The Key of David book, which has been updated a fair bit as well. You might have an older copy if you've gotten that before. This is a newer, updated version, so if you don't have that, please request that. It's free at thetrumpet.com. If you want to watch that video, you can watch it online at thetrumpet.com or check local listings for television airtimes, and you can hear it here first on KPCG, The Key That Unlocks the Bible, new Key of David program this weekend. Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury. That's coming up here in a bit as well. Ed Stone England, he is back in the studio today. And a little bit of a PYC update. I think that camp, the Philadelphia Youth Camp, ends this weekend over there.
That's right. And they had some of the campers come on and talk about how they may have made progress in accomplishing their goals. They talked about what stood out to them. So that was nice to hear. I actually turned on the radio about 7:45 as I drove over to Bible class this morning and heard my brother on there, so that was exciting.
And he didn't say anything about you? Didn't give you any, didn't say hello? Or
He said that one of his goals was to become a real man who doesn't complain so much, and he said he wants to continue that back home, and I thought he would give me a shout-out and say, you know, I have my brother to keep me in line at home. He never said anything.
I have my older brother as this perfect example in my life, and I want to be like that. It would have been a great chance for him to do that.
I thought he could have at least called me an enforcer, someone who doesn't, because I don't accept him complaining. I give him a good smack if he starts complaining.
That's what older brothers are for, keep the younger brothers in line. So a pretty interesting program, and it's kind of neat to hear some of the campers over there in Edstone, England. And it also talked about was just how, of course, it has been a very uplifting camp, quite a contrast to what we see in the world. And then Stephen Fleury did reference that headline there with all the shootings in Chicago. You know, I mean, it's happening during the same time periods. So pretty interesting. And he mentioned how human nature is at the root of the problems that we see when you see the violence and so forth in this world. And asked the question, though, where does human nature come from? He has a great soundbite in there from Herbert W. Armstrong talking about that. And the fact that children have to be taught God's way from an early age to combat some of the problems that we see in this world. And, of course, there will be changes to this world, but that does take time. And this is a small beginning here with this Philadelphia Youth Camp. So make sure you do listen for that Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you can't catch it live, you can always get the podcast and download that at kpcg.fm. And I think a lot of the listeners like to binge listen on the weekends. So
I hope they do. That's one of the few things that's worth binging on.
Kick back and have a little binge listen session. It's hard to say. It's a
binge
twister.
Listen session.
On the weekend, you can find that at kpcg.fm. So all the programming is there. And also make sure you listen for the Trumpet, our Week in Review program, coming up in a bit as well and throughout the weekend here on KPCG.